How's everybody doing? It's good to see everyone. We're going to continue in our teaching that Brother Herman started off. Let me just connect right quick. We are in the talking about the book of Esther, the Feast of Purim, and this time right here it's a time to be happy. It's a time to be joyful, because there was a great salvation that took place in the story of. That's this right here, in the story of Esther. Yeah, good. We see the hand of not one time. You can hear me? No. Not coming through at all? Good. Not one time was God's name ever mentioned in 10 chapters of Esther. But if you read the story of Esther, you see his hand through this whole story, how the provision was made throughout this whole book. And it was just incredible. There was a great salvation that took place in the story of Esther. And we see Brother Herman touched on it, kicked it off yesterday about, how it all came about, the history of it. With Nebuchadnezzar, how he went in and just destroyed Jerusalem. They burnt everything down to the ground. And then it was told that his kingdom was about to fall, was coming to an end. And then the Medes and Persia, King Cyrus, destroyed his kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And the Jews, they was free to go back to Jerusalem. But only 5% went back. They didn't want to go. They had then grew accustomed to the living, the style that they was living where they was at. And so they did not want to go back. Who want to go back to a place that's all burnt down? How many people wanted to come back after Katrina? We lost quite a few people. They stayed, Belchase area or wherever they moved, Baton Rouge. They didn't want to come back. It took work to come back to build this place back, and they didn't want to. And same thing happened here. They didn't want to go back to that. They was, it was living large where they was at. It was nice. It was comfortable. They didn't want to have to go back to work. But we'll go ahead. What this is a reading the Megillah. And this is something that should be read every Purim to your kids, to our church. The whole 10 chapters should be read every time in for this time right here, for this feast. In Proverbs 16:33, and I want to start with this because in chapter 3, we see where they was casting lots to see what the day that they was going to die, the day that it was going to kill them. And they cast it in the very first month, but it took 12 months, think about that, before they got their answer. So the Jews had 12 months to prepare. See God's hand in this? Gave them 12 months. It says in Proverbs 16:33, it says, the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision by it is from Yah. Every decision. So they was casting and casting and casting, but it was in God's decision before it decides on what day. 12, think about that, 12 months. It says, Elohim is not mentioned in the book of Esther even once. But Esther was clear that in this particular situation, a heavenly response was needed for an earthly situation. Esther needed direction. When we need Elohim's grace, fasting and prayer opens the portals for spiritual growth, removes distractions, and places us on a path to humility. So not one time was Elohim's name mentioned. But Esther needed that direction. She had to do something. You know, his God's providence doesn't negate our human responsibility. She still had to do something in order for this to come to fruition. She still had a responsibility. Even though God's hand was upon it, we still have to do things. You know, and this great salvation that took place, think about our life. You know, for me, speaking on my behalf, there was a great salvation that took place in my life and in each and every one of our lives, because we were sentenced to debt. Because of one man's sin, debt entered into the world. But Yeshua came as that willing sacrifice. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, Esther's mission becomes clear. We're going to read that whole chapter. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 16, Esther's mission becomes clear. Mordecai tears his clothes and puts on sackcloth and ashes as a sign of public mourning. Mordecai sends a copy of the decree to Esther and asks her to intercede with the king. Esther replies that to approach the king without being summoned is to risk death. She knew that she just couldn't go in, because if you wasn't summoned, the law was that you'll be put to death. Mordecai tells her that she has no choice. Esther tells Mordecai to ask the Jews to fast and pray for 3 days before she will approach the king. In verse 1, and Mordecai learned, in chapter 4, verse 1, and Mordecai learned of all that had been done. Because he was there at the gate every day. Every day. And you're going to see what he learned. Mordecai tore his garments. What he learned is that he got the decree. It was a decree sent out in chapter 3 to kill all the Jews. So he had that decree in his hand. So Esther had no clue that this was sent out. And Mordecai tore his garments and put on sackcloth and ashes and went into the midst of the city and cried out with a loud and bitter cry. And he went up to the front of the sovereign's gate, for no one might enter the sovereign's gate wearing sackcloth. And in every province where the sovereign's command and decree came, there was great mourning among the Yehudim, among the Jews. Think about it. You can imagine getting a paper saying that you are going to be killed on this day. And it's going to happen. It's from the king. It was written in stone. There's nothing could have changed it. Nothing could have stopped it. Can you imagine receiving a letter that this is the day you're going to die? I think there'd be some great mourning in our lives too. And fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And Esther's young women and eunuchs came and told her, and the sovereigness was deeply pained and sent garments to Mordecai to wear and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he refused. And Esther called Hathach, one of the sovereign's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. She didn't have no clue. The decree, the letter that was sent out. But she wanted to know, because there was, for some reason, Mordecai is laying at the king's gate in sackcloth and ashes, and he's wailing, he's crying heavily. And Hathach went out to Mordecai to an open space of the city in front of the sovereign's gate. And Mordecai told him all that befell him and all about the silver that Haman promised to pay into the sovereign's treasuries to destroy the Yehudim, to destroy the Jews. Paid. He gave him silver, a promise to pay them. And he gave him a copy of the written decree to destroy them, which was given at Shushan, to show it to Esther and explain it to her. and to command her to go into the sovereign to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spoke to Hatak and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the sovereign servants and the people of the sovereign provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the sovereign who has not been called, he has but one law, to be put to death, except the one to whom the sovereign holds out the golden scepter, who then shall live. But I have not been called to come into the sovereign these 30 days. He hadn't summoned me for 30 days. I can't just go up in there. But you seen in chapter 3, she found favor in all the eyes of everyone. And they, in verse 12, and they declared to Mordecai the words of Esther. And Mordecai commanded them to answer Esther. Listen to what he told her. Do not think within yourself to escape in the sovereign's palace any more than all the other Yehudim. Once he find out that you're a Jew, just because you you took Vashti's place. Look what happened to Vashti when she refused to come to his banquet. Got rid of her. Don't think that once he find out you're a Jew, because the decree was kill all the Jews, every last one of them. Don't think just because you're in this palace that you ain't going to die. He'll kill you too. For if you keep entirely silent at this time, relief and deliverance shall arise from the Yehudim from another place. You're going to die too. But relief and deliverance is going to come from someone for us. So Esther, if you want it to be you, then you do what you have to do. But if you don't, Yahweh will raise someone else up. It's no different than I'm standing here or pastor standing here. If we decide to walk away or not do what he calls us to do, guess what? He's going to raise someone else up to do his work. While you and your father's house perish, and who knows whether you have come to the reign for such a time as this. And Esther commanded to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Yehudim, all the Jews who are present in Shushan, and fast for me. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I too and my young women shall fast in the same way. Then I shall go to the sovereign, which is against the law. And listen to her words, so powerful. And if I shall perish, I shall perish. If I die, I die. Elohim's providence does not negate a human responsibility. She knew that she had a responsibility to do. She knew she just couldn't go in there. But she said, hey, I'm going to ask all my eunuchs, all my ladies to fast and tell Mordecai to ask the Jews, every last one of them to fast for 3 days and then I'll go. Verse 17, Mordecai then went away and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Esther was willing to die to save her people. Sometimes we must stand in courage, even when it's not popular, to do so and risk it all. We must stand in courage, even when it's not popular, to do so and risk it all. Sometimes in our life, we got to do it. We got to take that stand, as we're doing now. We're taking that stand. You know, it's not popular what we're doing, but are we going to do it and we're going to risk it all for him? Absolutely. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Esther's strategy, Haman's fury. Esther's strategy, Haman's fury. King Ashvarosh receives Esther's and grants her virtually and grants her virtually any request. Esther requests that the king and Haman join her at a banquet. After the banquet, Haman sees Mordecai, who once again refuses to bow. When Zeresh, Haman's wife, suggests that Mordecai be hung, the gallows are prepared. And, you know, Mordecai wasn't not bowing because he was disobeying his order, because Haman was set above all the princes in throughout this whole area. He was set high above all of them. So at every command, everybody would bow. Everybody would give omelets, obedience to Haman. But it's not that he couldn't. He was a Jew. And he said, I shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only I'll serve. Elohim's providence. Proverbs 21:30. The sovereign's heart is as channels of water in the hand of Yah. He turns it wherever he wishes. First one, and it came to be on the third day that Esther put on a royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the sovereign's palace in front of the sovereign's house while the sovereign sat on his royal throne in the royal house opposite the entrance of the house. And it came to be when the sovereign saw sovereigness Esther standing in the court that she found favor. There she goes again, finding that favor. In the eyes, in the sovereign held, in his eyes, and the sovereign held out to Esther the golden scepter, which was in his hand. And Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. How many know when God's for you, when Elohim's for you, who can be against you? You want to walk in his favor? You follow his commands. Follow his commands and you'll walk in the favor of Yahweh. And the sovereign said to her, what is it, sovereigness Esther, and what is your request? Up to half my reign, and it is given to you. Up to half of my reign. That would have made her the most powerful, richest woman on earth at that time. Think about it. Half of my reign is given to you. And look what she answered. She didn't even want half the reign. She wanted a banquet. I just want a banquet. And Esther answered, if it pleases the sovereign, let the sovereign and Haman come today to the feast which I have prepared for him. And the sovereign said, get Haman at once to do as Esther had said. Then the sovereign and Haman went to the feast which Esther had prepared. Now, this is the first feast. And the sovereign said to Esther at the feast of wine, what is your petition? What's going on? Tell me what you need. Tell me what you want. And it is given you. And what is your request? Up to half of my reign, and it is done. Just like that. You just mentioned it. That's how much favor she had in his eyes. He wanted to give her half of his kingdom. And Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. If I have found favor in the eyes of the sovereign, and if it pleases the sovereign to give my petition and perform my request, then let the sovereign and Haman come to the feast which I make for them, and tomorrow I shall do according to the word of the sovereign. Look, this is not something that she just couldn't do. She could have did it right then and there. But notice, when you're being led by the Father, when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, you know, it's the next day. The first day we did this wine drinking, and I told you that this is what I want. Come tomorrow to this feast, and then I'll make my petition then. She could have did it on the very first day, but it's not how it works when you're being led by the Spirit. And Haman went out that day rejoicing and with a glad heart. Think about it. Boy, he was happy. Oh, just me and the king. The only two twice that she requested to come to a feast. Just me and him. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the sovereign's gate and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. He left out that palace, he was happy-go-lucky. But as soon as he turned the corner and seen old Mordecai, that old Jew, he just gets underneath my skin. You ever had anybody get underneath your skin? Be careful. Be careful when some people get underneath your skin. And it happens. I mean, hey, people do. Sometimes they do get underneath my skin too. But you got to be careful that they don't, you know, that you don't carry that for days with you, that they get underneath your skin. Because he was happy right here until he seen that Mordecai who refused to bow. He was filled with wrath against Mordecai. But Haman held himself in and came to his house, and he sent, and listen to this, he sent and called for his loved ones and Zeresh his wife. Be careful where you seek in your counsel. Your husband, your wife, a family member, be careful. Because you're going to see they gave him some advice, and it wasn't the advice. It turned out bad for Haman. Very, very bad. So be careful. Only seek God's counsel. Or seek counsel from godly people. And be careful on godly people. Because so many people is godly, claim to be godly. But seek counsel, seek his counsel. Let him be the judge. And Haman recounted to them the esteem of his wealth. Haman, all what I got. You know, I just got promoted in chapter 3. I'm living in a palace. He wasn't just in no 16 by 80 trailer. He was in a palace. His esteem of his, and it was, I got to rephrase that, because there's nothing wrong with living in that. I'm just trying to make a statement. And his many sons, because my wife will probably correct me as soon as I get home. You shouldn't have said that. And his many sons, and all in which the sovereign had promoted him, and how he had exalted him above the officials and servants of the sovereign. He was the man. Haman was the man. And Haman said, besides Esther the sovereigness, let no one but me come in with sovereign to the feast which she prepared. You see the pride that built up in Haman's life? Oh, just me. Out of 127 provinces, that was a lot of people living there. She only requested me and the king. And tomorrow, too, I am invited by her along with the sovereign. But all this does not suit me as long as I see Mordecai, that Yehudi, that Jew, sitting at the sovereign's gate. All what he had, all the power and the riches Haman had, it did not suit him because of Mordecai, because of one person that got underneath his skin. So his wife Zeresh and all his loved ones said to him, listen to this, listen. Listen to the counsel, listen to the advice they given Haman. Let a wooden structure be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning speak to the sovereign that Mordecai be hanged on it. And go with the sovereign to the feast rejoicing, and the word please Haman. And he had made the wooden, and he had the wooden structure made. It pleased him what he heard from his wife and his family. All right, we're going to build this. Let's build this structure, this wooden structure, and we're going to hang old Haman. And look, hanging is not what we think hanging is. They hanging back in the day, we wouldn't even want to feast, put our eyes on it. Because it wasn't a hanging with a noose. He was impaled. It was a shish kebab, as Pastor said in one of his messages. So think about that. That's the type of hanging they did back then. So he asked them for their advice, and boy, she gave it, and his family gave it, and it didn't turn out good. Chapter 6, 1 through 14, the reversal begins. The reversal begins. The king can't sleep and asks to hear the royal chronicles for the first time. The king learns of the assassination plot that Mordecai had revealed. That same night, Haman comes to see the king about hanging Mordecai. Think about it. That night, he couldn't sleep. The king tells Haman to honor Mordecai by dressing him in royal garments, to place him on a royal stallion, and to personally lead him through the streets of Shushan, capital of Persia. Verse 1. Listen to the reversal. On that night, the sleep of the sovereign fled, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the annals of the Quran, the Chronicles, and they were read before the sovereign. So this is the night before Haman was coming, the gallows built, and he was coming that very next morning to ask to be, for Mordecai to be hung, to be impaled. The very next morning he was coming, but that night, God just began to stir him up to where sleep left him. Couldn't sleep. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bethana and Teresh, two of the sovereign's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on sovereign Ashuash. These were two guys that was very well capable of getting to the king to kill him. Then the sovereign said, "What has been done in value or in greatness to Mordecai for this?" So just to back up right quick. And they were read before the sovereign. So out of all this, everything that was written in those books that was going on through the kingdom, they found that spot to read. You see God's hands? Through this whole story of Esther, you just see the hand of God. It's amazing, amazing. So throughout this whole book, throughout his whole kingdom, they found that spot to read of what Mordecai did. Then the sovereign said, "What has been done in value or in greatness to Mordecai for this?" And the sovereign servants who attended him said, "Nothing, naught has been done for him. Nothing, nothing, king." And the sovereign said, "Who is in the court?" Haman just so happened to be coming in the court. Yeah. Just so happened, though. He was wooed. He was stirred up. He had so much anger. He wanted him dead so bad. And he walked in at the wrong time. Now, Haman had come into the outer court of the sovereign's palace to speak to the sovereign to hang Mordecai on the wooden structure that he had prepared for him. And the sovereign's servant said to him, "Look, Haman is standing in the court." And the sovereign said, "Let him come in." "Come in, Haman. I got a question I want to ask you." And when Haman came in, the sovereign asked him, "What is to be done for the man who the sovereign delights to value?" There go that pride. You know how you say some people get some big-headed people? Don't tell them something because, boy, their heads swell up. You could imagine the size head Haman had right here. "Now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the sovereign delight to value more than me? I'm his right-hand man. He just promoted me in chapter 3 over all his eunuchs and servants. So who is he? He's got to be talking about me right here. Because I'm the man. I'm the one he's talking about. Whom would the sovereign delight to value more than me?" Haman said, "I don't know what to tell him." And Haman answered the sovereign, "For the man who the sovereign delights to value, let a royal robe be brought, which the sovereign has worn." Let a robe that you wear, king, that you have worn. "And a horse on which the sovereign has ridden, one with the royal crest placed on its head." Not just any horse, a royal. "Let a royal horse come and parade him around. And let this robe and horse be given into the hand of one of the sovereign's most noble princes." That's you, Haman. You are the most noble princes. "Let them dress the man whom the sovereign delights to value and make him ride on the horse back. through the city square and proclaim before him, thus it is done to the man whom the sovereign delights to value. That's what, yeah, not only, you know, lead him through the city. Let the man say this, O king. Let him say these words, that this is done to the man whom the sovereign delights to value. And the sovereign said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have spoken, and do this for Mordecai, the Yehudi, the Jew who sits in the sovereign's gate. Let no word fail of all that you have spoken. Everything that you just said, you don't let one word not, don't do what you just said. Let everything that you just said, down to the T, you say it. And you do it to Mordecai. Can you imagine how he might have felt? The anger. He couldn't stand Mordecai. And yet the king is requesting, commanding me, the one who he just promoted high above all his servants, me, to go do this to Mordecai? Oh, could imagine poor what Haman was thinking. And Haman took the robe and the horse and rode Mordecai and led him on the horseback through the city square and to proclaim before him, thus it is done to the man the sovereign delights to value. I wonder how loud he was saying that. Or if he was just trying to mumble that under his breath. Because you know he didn't want to say it. Listen, you don't want to say good things of somebody you hate or you have ill feelings toward. It's just, that's just, it is what it is. Let's be honest. I'm not going to go talk good about somebody if I'm having issues with them. Then Mordecai went back to the sovereign's gate. But Haman hurried to his house mourning and with covered head. Going back home, running to his wife. Going to cry to mama of what the king just did to me, Haman. He hurried to his house mourning and with covered head. Didn't even want people to see him. He was embarrassed. He was embarrassed. And when Haman related to his wife Zeresh and all his loved ones, all that had befallen him, his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, listen to this, this Mordecai, whom you have begun to fall, is from the seed of the Yehudim, the seed of the Jews, you are not going to prevail against him, because certainly, but certainly fall before him. You don't stand a chance, Haman. You're done. You know why? Because they knew the God of the Jews. They knew that he made a way through the stories with Pharaoh. You know, they just didn't hate the Jews. You don't hate people just like that. Even when you think about the Jews that old Hitler killed. Think about that, 6,000. How you hate 6,000 people? You don't hate that many people. It's impossible. You hate the God of the people. That's why. But they knew, his wife and Mordecai, that Jew, Haman, you're in a bind. You don't know. He's got the sovereign of sovereignness on his side. He's got the Father on his side. And if it's Haman, if it's Mordecai you're talking about, Haman, you're dead, you're done. Sorry, babe. I love you, but you're gone. That's what his wife told him. While they were still speaking with him, the sovereign eunuch came and hurried to bring Haman to the feast which Esther had prepared. I bet you he didn't want to go to this feast. Chapter 7, 1 through 10, reversal of the fortune. Chapter 7, 1 through 10, reversal of the fortune. And this is the last chapter we're going to cover today because we have three for tomorrow. At the second banquet, Esther reveals her identity and announces that she and her people are about to be murdered. Esther identifies Haman as her arch enemy. The king has Haman hung on the gallows. that had been prepared for Mordecai. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the sovereign and Haman came in to drink with the sovereigness Esther. And again on the second day at the feast of wine, the sovereign said to Esther, what is your petition? And sovereigness Esther, and it is given to you. And what is your request? Up to half of my reign, and it is done. And sovereigness Esther answered and said, if I have found favor in your eyes, O sovereign, and if it pleases the sovereign, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. Because she knew, she got that decree given to her saying that all your people is about to die, and you. So notice what she asked for, my life and my people's life. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be cut off, to be killed, and to be destroyed. And if we had been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept silent. Notice that she was okay with being a slave. If it was just slavery, we was okay with it. But they want to kill us, O king. I would have kept silent, although the adversary could not make up for the sovereign's loss. Then sovereign Ahasuerus asked sovereigness Esther, who is he and where is he whose heart is set to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this evil Haman. He's the one, king. Then Haman was afraid before the sovereign and the sovereigness. Could you imagine being in that room at the time? And the sovereign, arising in his wrath from the feast of wine, went into the palace garden. He had to get out of the room. His anger had built up so bad, he probably wanted to choke Haman right then and there. But he got out. He went into the palace garden. And Haman remained before sovereigness Esther, pleading for his life. For he saw that evil had been decided against him by the sovereign. So he was begging her, please, please. And when the sovereign returned from the palace garden to the place of the feast of wine, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was. Then the sovereign said, also to ravish the sovereigness while I am in the house. So as soon as he walked in, he was bleeding so much that he felt. And he grabbed her and he said, you even going to rape the queen in front of me? I'm right here in the next room. As the word left the sovereign's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Right then and there, once he covered his face, he's dead. He's done. The last thing he seen was the queen. Last thing he seen was Esther's face. And Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the sovereign, also see the wooden structure. See that? The thing he built. The counsel he seeked from his family and his wife. You know, you think they would give you good advice or what to do. One of the eunuchs said to the sovereign, also see the wooden structure, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on behalf of the sovereign, is standing at the house of Haman. Not only did they impale him on his own structure, it was in his own yard. At his own house. I wonder what his wife and his family members who gave him that advice to build that thing, what they thought when they seen their family member, your husband, your uncle, your brother, whoever it was that he was seeking counsel from to build this, and you're the one hanging on it. And the sovereign said, impale him on it. And they hang Haman on that wooden structure that he had prepared for Mordecai, and the sovereign's wrath abated. Once they hung him, his rat sealed. He was not angry anymore. The Feast of Purim, story of Esther, and that's chapter 8 is where we'll start tomorrow. 8, 9, and 10 is the reversal is complete. So you'll see through this whole story of Esther, how the Father just, his providence hand was just over this whole the whole story of Esther. He made a way where there seemed to be none. And just like he did in our lives, where there seemed to be none, he made a way for us. Because we was summons to death. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. We couldn't get out of it. But he said, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to send my son, my only son, to die so y'all can have eternal life. And I'm so thankful. So thankful that every time that I didn't deserve his hand upon my life from, you know, being rebellious and disobedient, he saw fit to still make a way. Because he seen me here when I didn't see me here, when I didn't even deserve to be here. But yet he loves us that much. He loves his people. And you see it throughout the whole life of the Jews. They was just, people wanted to kill him. You can't hate a group of people that much. It's impossible. You don't hate them. You got to hate the God of the people in order for you to have that much hate towards them. And, you know, we're his people. We are his set apart ones. He calls us that in his scriptures. Y'all are my set apart ones. Y'all follow my commands. I do the same thing for y'all. And you can testify to that, because there was times in each and every one of our lives where it didn't seem that we was going to make it. And he made a way. He kept his hand upon us. And he's good to us. So good. Amen. So that's all I have for this morning. When you start early, you leave early. So when we don't have no worship, hey, you get to, that's a blessing. Amen. So, again, we'll be here tomorrow evening to break the fast. I only was supposed to do 3 chapters, but I figured I'd do 4 because you don't want to do 3 and then, you know, everybody's going to be hungry tomorrow to break the fast. So we're going to finish 8, 9, and 10. And like I said, this story is incredible. You apply it to your life. Read it slowly. Go back. And we should read it every day for these 3 days, to tell you the truth. To because this is what happened in our lives, if you think about it. It really is. It really does. So, again, thank y'all. Be back tomorrow, 6:30. Be ready to receive whatever he has for us. Amen. He's good to us. So any prayer requests, anybody's